Events, issues, ideas. This is Newsmaker Monday with Tim Bryant. In-depth conversations with the people who make the news, break the news, and cover the news in Athens and around the state. On 98.7 FM and AM 1340, Fox News, WGAU. Your calls are welcome at 706-549-TALK. That's 706-549-8255. Now, here's Tim Bryant.
Here indeed. Welcome in. Welcome to the best hour of my broadcast day. Newsmaker Monday is underway. Tim Bryant, happy to have you on board this morning. Busy as per usual this morning. Let you hear this morning a conversation. Full disclosure, actually had it last Friday before Katie Andrew, my partner on Georgia's Morning News, left for her vacation. We spoke with Georgia U.S. Senator David Perdue. You'll hear from him in just a bit. A state representative, Harry Geisinger, Republican from Roswell, if memory serves, and I do believe that it does. Horse racing legislation. You're hearing about the horse racing bill over there in the Senate. He's been pitching this legislation for a number of years in the Georgia House. We'll talk with him about the prospects. It seems to be at least some degree of traction. We'll talk with State Rep. Harry Geisinger here in just a bit. Dan Matthews, our man in Watkinsville, joining us. Did you know? A lot of people in Watkinsville evidently don't know or don't care. There's voting going on in Watkinsville. The early voting, voting in advance of the referendum Tuesday of next week. Special election alcohol is the issue. The election, the early voting into its final week, exceedingly light thus far. I mean, it was single digits at one point in terms of counting the people who bothered to cast early votes. Doesn't bode well for a big turnout on Tuesday of next week, but there are some issues at stake, specifically the issue of alcohol. Dan Matthews, to spell it out for us, because I'm going to be completely honest with you. I don't know what you can and can't do down there anymore. Where you can buy this, where you can buy that, when you can get it. It's a complicated mix. This might simplify things if it passes. Dan Matthews with us in just a bit. Right now, Jerry Henry, speaking to your Georgia legislature, the General Assembly at work, the feds always at work, some would say, he might say, working to erode your gun rights, your Second Amendment rights. There's that issue. We talked last week with Mark Franklin, Franklin's Gun Shop, that issue of the federal bullet proposal, the ammo proposal. We'll touch on that. We'll also look at anything that they might be doing beneath the Gold Dome in Atlanta. Jerry Henry, Georgia Carry is the organization with us now. Jerry Henry, thanks for your time this morning.
Well, thank you for having me.
Georgia Carry, your organization is simple enough, seems to understand. You're about the business, you would say, of protecting my Second Amendment rights.
That's correct. Our goal is to not only protect what we have, but to restore some of what we've lost, which we have done considerable amount in the last 8 years.
All right. By way of grabbing headlines, I think we could agree last year's legislative session much more eventful. The bill, the critics call the guns everywhere bill, it passed, whether to your satisfaction or not, the bill passed. Doesn't seem to be the gun issue itself, doesn't seem to be generating quite the attention this time around.
Well, it's not, but it rarely ever does on the first year of a session. It normally gets a little more traction into the second year, which is when everybody's facing re-election.
What is being done, if anything? You mentioned in writings yesterday, we're swapping notes back and forth, in terms of gun legislation, just one piece, and that more or less is an amendment or revision of something that has been dealt with already.
Right. There's been some other gun bills introduced. There are some antis and some pros, but the only one that we feel has got much of a chance of passing due to the time constraint, you know, Friday is crossover day, is HB 492, which is a clarification of some of the things that were in HB 60, which you discussed just a while ago. Be more than happy to tell you what it clarifies.
Sure, please do.
There were some things that we didn't like. There were some things that the probate courts didn't like. There were some things that the superior and state judges didn't like, and there were some things that the ACCG didn't like. And believe it or not, we all got together and we came up with a bill that we have decided will solve our problems, basically. But right now, if you read the statute, it says that you can't carry in the government building. They wanted to clarify that to where it says that a government building is off-limits as a non-license holder. So if you have a license, as you know from last year, you can carry into that building as long as it doesn't have screening.
Sure.
It clarifies that carrying within 150 foot of a polling place, that's always been off-limits. And now we're saying, should this pass, it will say only during an election, so that you don't. That's one of those gotcha things, yeah. You know, that they could get you with.
Right.
You didn't know that was a polling place, and you're within it. There's no election going on. One of the things that we ran across with the probate judges this year is that if you move from one county to the next, to the next. You know, we did away with fingerprinting on renewals last year. But if you move from one county to another county, the county that you moved to did not recognize the fact that you already had your fingerprint background check done, and they would force you into doing it again. This will clarify that no matter where it is, and it is a state license, no matter where you are in the state, you do not have to pay for the license, the fingerprint renewals, fingerprints on renewals. So, which we were all for that. It also adds a definition of armed forces into the section 1611-129, which is the one that defines what the probate courts do and need to determine in order to give you a license. I think that's basically for the ones that, under, you remember last year, if you're in the military or if you have been in the military and you're still under 21, you're over 18 but under 21, you could apply and get and obtain a Georgia weapons license.
Yeah, about and last so year's that, bill. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I can say this. It clarifies what they need to do, who's covered, what the military is in that, and what they need as proof in order to be able to get it.
About that bill last year, Jerry Henry, Georgia Kerry, you and I talked about this as it was being debated last year and shortly after it passed. And the critics of that bill, the Guns Everywhere bill, as it was called, oh, my God, you can carry a gun in a barn out. You always could, but neither here nor there. They were all predicting, and the AJC was all telling us about all this bloodshed we're going to see in Georgia, people in bars, you know, having gunfights. To the best of my knowledge, and you may know more about this than I do, you almost certainly do, I am not aware of any case over the past year since the passage of that so-called Guns Everywhere bill where a permitted gun owner in Georgia has committed a quote-unquote gun crime.
Well, not that I'm aware of either. There was a guy that had a discharge up in Helen where it went across the street and killed someone. And I'm not sure what the outcome of that case was, but I believe he did have a license. That's the only one that I know of. But one out of 750,000 or so is not too bad of odds. But, you know, as we discussed last year, I said the same thing. Every year, the AJC, all the anti-gunners, the gun prohibitionists, will tell you the same thing. People are going to be killed needlessly, blood in the streets, et cetera. And the only thing that happens is the crime rate goes down in the state of Georgia.
Which it continues to do, by the way.
That's what's happened.
I have said this for years, that kind of jokingly, although somewhat seriously, and lo and behold, here it suddenly seems to happen after a fashion. I've said for years, if I were a gun critic, if I were somebody that wanted to get your gun, I wouldn't bother with your gun. You can keep your gun. I'd go after your bullets, which
that's
is now
correct.
What apparently the federal government, at least after a fashion, appears to be doing. What do you make of this?
Well, just what you said. It's an attempt at the federal government, an attempt at the Obama administration to relieve us of some of our Second Amendment rights. If you look at it, they have been unable to enact gun control through the courts, through legislation, and the only way they can do it is, and they haven't done it through elections, so the only way they can do it now is backdoor through executive fiat, and that's what they're trying to do.
Explain quickly and briefly, as I understand it, we talked at some length about this last week, but I still need an education on it. Right now, it's a proposal from ATF and open subject to some open records laws, and you got a chance to offer input at the website and all of that. Some public comment is involved here. But it's a specific, rather narrowly defined type of ammunition. But the crux is this. It deals with what had been a rifle, which is now effectively a pistol. Another same piece of ammunition, legal in the rifle, but would now be legal in pistol form, unless this ban is implemented.
That's correct. And the pistol is not what you and I would think of as a normal pistol, a normal-looking pistol. It's a pretty good-sized pistol. By definition, it is a pistol. But if you use that, then they have to get rid of 22 long rifles, because 22 long rifles can be used in a pistol. Same thing with 22 Magnum. They're not touching those. What they're going after is the most popular ammunition for the most popular rifle in the United States.
The AR-15?
The AR-15 is the most popular rifle, and the M855 is the most popular and was some of the least expensive ammunition that you could get, because that's what everybody used for plinking. So they're going after the most popular one to get that out of the way. And if you look at what they've done, they have done what they've done with firearms. Every time they talk about firearms in the last 6 years, the prices go through the roof, the availability goes way down, and that's exactly what has happened with the M855.
Again, the public comment period, I think through the middle of this month, I think through the 16th, which, well, it's a week from today.
Through Monday. Now, mm-hmm. What I would like to do is point people to our website. On our website, georgiacarry.org, www.georgiacarry.org, on the very front page, we have a link to the comments that we sent to the ATF, and it pretty well defines everything that's in there, what they're trying to do it on, what grounds they're trying to do it on, and it would give anybody a good idea of what's happening, and we would suggest that you do contact them, mm-hmm. and you are certainly welcome to use some of our comments in our letter to make your points.
GeorgiaCarry.org is that website. Jerry Henry, Georgia Carry, thanks so much for your time this morning.
Thank you. I enjoyed it.
Quick break. When we come back, let you hear from David Perdue, Georgia's junior senator. Newsmaker Monday continues. Fox News, WGAU.
According to the left-wing magazine Mother Jones, those of you who eat 3 square meals a day should stop. If you think eating breakfast, lunch, and dinner is good for you, you're wrong. Makes you sick. It's anti-science. And it's racist. You heard me. If you consume 3 basic meals every day, you are engaging in racist behavior. Now, this racism began when white European settlers came to our shores, bringing with them their eating habits. In the morning, they had a light meal, sometimes cold mush, radishes. And then at midday, they had a heavier cooked meal, no doubt cooked by women. They were sexist, too. And then the last meal of the day was another light meal. The native tribes, however, the Indians, were smarter. They snacked during the day. They followed the season, sometimes eating more, sometimes less, as the seasons changed. When food was scarce, they fasted. And since they were natives, they were healthier than the white Europeans. But that didn't stop those racist white Europeans from laughing at the native tribes. They considered them uncivilized. They even watched the natives eat as a form of entertainment. Now, according to Mother Jones, the natives were right. Science supports their way of eating, not the white Europeans. So stop your racism. Stop eating breakfast. Skip lunch. Lay off the cold mush and the radishes. Just snack and eat with the seasons. And remember to fast, especially when there's no food around. Think and eat like a native Indian. That's going to be a lot of corn, folks.
Not available in California, Louisiana, and Virginia.
Listeners, do you have startup capital and want to invest in a booming business with incredible profit and growth potential? The opportunity is now because Fresh Healthy Vending, the number one healthy vending franchise in North America, is looking for a few business-savvy, healthy-minded people right here in the local area to become Fresh Healthy Vending franchise owners. We're growing so fast that we've had hundreds of new franchise owners in the last few years alone. Now you can join them. This area has a huge demand for fresh, healthy, organic snacks on the go, and that's exactly what you'll be selling with your Fresh Healthy Vending machines. We've already identified prime high traffic locations that are perfect for healthy vending machines. Now we just need the right people to join our franchise network and help Fresh Healthy Vending continue to boom. If this sounds like you, go to readyforfresh.com today and enter code 8181. We'll send you a free owner information kit. As an added bonus to new franchise owners, we'll also pay half the franchise fees. Hurry, this offer is limited. Just go to readyforfresh.com and enter code 8181. That's readyforfresh.com, code 8181.
Some wish for a funeral of modest means, while others choose the most elaborate. No matter which choice is made, the level of caring and respect will be the same here at Bernstein Funeral Home and Cremation Services, where we only have one standard, the highest standard. This is Sonny Wilson of Bernstein's, and providing the finest service, no matter what the cost, is how we have developed our unequal reputation for caring. Whether it's at-need or pre-need arrangements, we're here to help you at Bernstein Funeral Home and Cremation Services.
Hi, welcome to AT&T.
Hi, can you tell us more about rollover data?
Yeah, what do we have to do?
Not a thing. If you're a mobile share value customer, your unused plan data automatically rolls over for 1 month. It's our way of saying thanks.
That's so wonderful.
You know, let's hug.
Oh, that's okay. We don't have to.
I think we do.
Yeah, I think we do.
Nice.
Let's bring it in.
Oh,
wow. And we're hugging. All 3 of us. Really hugging. Ooh, who smells like bacon?
Introducing AT&T Rollover Data. All mobile share value plans now come with rollover data on the network with the nation's strongest LTE signal. AT&T, mobilizing your world. AT&T reminds you to never text and drive. It can wait.
Available only with AT&T Mobile Share Value Plans. Rollover data automatically expires after 1 month or with any plan change. Other restrictions apply. Visit att.com/rollover data for details. Signal strength claim based only on average LTE signal strength for national carriers.
John Weatherby's extended forecast twice each hour on 98.7 FM and AM 1340. Fox News, WGAU.
Newsmaker Monday, Tim Bryant back with you. Not the biggest radio audience in Athens, the smartest, though the best and brightest, and you are a part of the audience. Glad you are with us this morning. Dan Matthews along shortly, just for no other reason than he knows more about this stuff than I do. Anybody else I can get a hold of this morning. They're voting in Watkinsville. Not many, but enough to make it count. A referendum Tuesday, a week from tomorrow, the early voting wrapping up Friday of this week. There's an alcohol referendum in Watkinsville. And I don't mean to, I'm not trying to be flip or hyperbolic. I simply don't know how it works down there anymore. As I say down there, it's like I'm a million miles away. I'm not. I'm there frequently. And I don't know. I'd sit down in a restaurant and have a beer. No. Okay. But you can here, but you can't there. I don't understand the way it works. They're going to, I think, try to simplify all that, or at least unify all of that and make it make sense countywide. There's an alcohol referendum being voted on there in Watkinsville. A week from tomorrow is election day early voting. We'll talk with Dan Matthews about that. State Rep Harry Geisinger, another vice besides drinking, horse racing. Potentially in Georgia, the legislature considering the issue of horse racing, pari-mutuel wagering on the ponies here in Georgia. State Rep Harry Geisinger later with us later this hour. David Perdue, again, full disclosure, spoke with him Friday last, before Katie Andrew, my partner on Georgia's Morning News, left for her much-deserved vacation. Georgia Senator David Perdue.
About this, Benjamin Netanyahu, you actually got to go visit Israel. It was like, I guess, your first excursion abroad as a U.S. senator. You got to meet
it was Katie. It was Katie. Good morning. I'm a member of the Foreign Relations Committee, and I felt it was important that my first trip send a message, and it did. I went to Israel. I actually had a personal meeting in his home of the Prime Minister.
Wow.
And Prime Minister Netanyahu was extremely gracious, but he was deadly serious. This was not a personal conversation. This was a conversation about what he needed help with here in the U.S., and that's bipartisan support for a non-nuclear Iran. I mean, this is deadly serious, not just to Israel, but as I said, the entire world. His speech, I think, changed the conversation. It was a paradigm shift. And I'm disappointed that we have some congressman from Georgia that chose not to attend. But, you know, it wasn't a partisan issue. And I think his speech exemplified that, the way he was so gracious to the president, to the Democratic leadership. And I just think this issue is bigger than any of us. It's a global issue, and he made that point very articulately.
Literally, and we're talking with Senator David Perdue here, literally moments after Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu wrapped up that address of early this week, Tuesday, I think it was, House goes into session and essentially caves on the Homeland Security funding issue vis-a-vis the president's stance on executive orders immigration. The House essentially gave the president everything he wanted, didn't take any of that stuff away or even make a move to, and are now, and these are the House Republicans we're talking about this morning, they're facing a world of hurt because of their positions here. What's the Senate going to do? Is there anything left for the Senate to do with this?
Well, not at the moment. I mean, we fought hard. We tried to fund Homeland Security without funding for the executive action. I mean, we had to define priorities, and the priorities start with the Constitution, Tim, and that's where I ended up. I mean, I voted to not fund his executive action, and, that's the first thing we have to do. I think the fact that the Democrats really blocked this from going to the floor, where we could have had a separate dialogue, a separate debate, really, over both funding Homeland Security independent of the executive action, but they didn't want to do that.
So, okay, if you had to guess now what's going to happen with the immigration issue, what would you say?
Well, there are several things that need to happen, Katie. We've been talking for the last 2 years about separating the issues relative to immigration. First of all is the border. You know, not only the border with Mexico, but all of our borders. We've got to secure that. That's not an immigration issue any longer, not that it ever was. It's a national security issue. As a member of the Foreign Relations Committee, we talk a lot about that. We see the danger and the risk that we have by not getting serious about that. And then the second thing is, I think once that's done, that's a prerequisite, then we can start talking about separating the different issues within the immigration topic. For example, we have legal immigration issues. We have the highest number of legal immigrants coming in because of this president than we've ever had. Second to that, we have a legal labor issue with some of our farmers and construction employers and so forth. So this is a very complicated issue. I would love to get it on the floor of the Senate and have an open and active debate about it. But it's got, that needs to come through the House as well.
Another couple of minutes with Senator David Perdue here. Keystone Pipeline passes in the House and Senate. Big numbers, big majorities in both the House and Senate. However, not enough to override that presidential veto. He has, in fact, vetoed the Keystone XL pipeline legislation. What, if anything, is left to do here?
Well, this is not done. We are, you know, this is a perfect example, Tim, of where this president, who claims to be a champion for the middle class, absolutely turns his back the first time we give him a bipartisan bill that creates jobs, not just the 40,000 jobs involved in building the pipeline, but the economic value down the road of other jobs that will be created by having North American oil instead of Saudi Arabia oil or Middle East oil. You know, this to me is a perfect example where the Democrats are, again, exemplifying their ability to turn their backs on the middle class. We had a majority. We had 62 votes for this bill. That means that we had to have 8 or 9 Democrats come with us, and yet we just fell 5 short of getting an override on the veto. But again, I think this shows the president's hand and indeed the Democratic strategy. They talk one thing, but they're not willing to step up and back it up.
So, Senator Perdue, speaking for the opposition to the Keystone Pipeline bill, is there anything that, for example, someone who was very concerned, an environmentalist, who came to you and said, listen, this is really, really going to upset our water systems. It's going to mess with all kinds of, you know, ecological factors that we can't even predict right now. We don't have any control over once it's done. Would any argument like that sway your thinking as far as the Keystone Pipeline goes?
Well, no, I didn't jump in and vote for the Keystone blindly. I did a lot of my own independent research. And if you look at the number of pipelines we have out there, this is just one pipeline. But the bigger issue is the General Accounting Office and other people have studied this, and they have determined independently over the last 6 years. That's the other thing. We've been studying this for 6 years and gotten every state's approval through which the pipeline has to go in the United States. And they all conclude that there is no material damage to the environment because of this pipeline, period. The second thing they talk about is, you know, we don't want to rush to judgment. We want to give everybody a chance to look at it. Well, my goodness, we've been doing this for 6 years. It took us 17 years to get the approval to deepen our own port there in Savannah. We know what that looks like in terms of losing our competitive edge for the rest of the world. This is another example of just somebody who's making decisions in the White House and indeed on the Democratic side that really aren't interested in creating jobs.
David Perdue, Georgia's junior senator, talking. Actually, that was from Friday with Katie Andrew and I on Georgia's Morning News. Georgia's Morning News, 6 to 9 here on WGAU and a handful of stations around. What, 10 or 12 stations? I think it's where we are now. I don't know. Keep up. But that's where we are with that show. And thanks to Senator David Perdue for joining us there. That issue of the Keystone Pipeline, this is a fascinating issue to me. First of all, every time one of these trains crashes someplace, spills a bunch of oil. What was it? West Virginia spilled it in the Kanawha River up there a few weeks ago, and it happened again someplace else recently. Every time one of those train accidents happens, people say, hey, should have had a pipeline. We do have pipelines, a network of pipelines, thousands of them, that crisscross the country. In fact, most of the Keystone's built. I mean, a small percentage-wise, a small fraction that has yet to be built, and that's the part that evidently is subject to this presidential veto won't get built. Although Senator David Perdue, told us in that chant that, hey, we're not done with it. We're going to keep fighting for it, so we shall see. Thanks to Senator David Perdue. State Rep. Harry Geisinger with us. Toward the end of the hour, the issue of betting on the ponies in Georgia. It's in the Georgia Senate. He's been pushing that in the Georgia House for a number of years. We'll talk with him about that later this hour. On the other side, at the bottom of the hour news, Dan Matthews joins us there in Watkinsville, where voters are voting. Not in any great numbers, but they are voting on an alcohol referendum. We'll clarify where and what can be sold when and where in terms of alcohol in Watkinsville, specifically in Watkinsville, as opposed to the rest of the county. Talk about that next. Newsmaker Monday, Fox News, WGAU.
Check here first for news and weather updates. 98.7 FM and AM 1340. Fox News, WGAU.
I'm Matt Cook with the Georgia News Network. Spanish police are investigating the death of a dolphin trainer who was set to become vice president of the Georgia Aquarium. CNN is reporting that the death of Jose Barbaro appears to be a suicide. Last month, a video surfaced that supposedly shows him abusing dolphins in his care. The Georgia Aquarium CEO said they'd been looking into the reports of the abuse when word came of his death. Hopefully spring is not far away for us now that we've had our chain pulled for a few weeks in a row with the big swings and the weather.
Isn't it time for baseball?
We've seen now the really variable weather. It's pretty typical for spring conditions across the Southeast.
UGA climatologist Pam Knox may or may not be a baseball fan, but she is sick of winter. Just like the rest of us.
The thing that I'm really looking forward to is about the middle part of March, we're expecting to go into a much more spring-like pattern.
But the outlook for all of spring is a little cooler than usual. I'm Doug Dodine, GNN News.
A new study by Wallet Hub ranks Georgia 45th in the country for women. Georgia ranks low in women's health and in other areas.
The women unemployment rate is almost at 10% now, and that ranks 50th in the country.
But Wallet Hub's Jill Gonzalez says that we're near the top when it comes to female-owned businesses. President Obama travels to Georgia tomorrow. He's making a speech. The president will do it at Georgia Tech. It's open to students and faculty. And the FBI is now investigating two juveniles from New York City for a prank phone call to Peachtree City Police. They allegedly called Friday afternoon, said there was a hostage situation at a home on Peachtree Station Circle, touching off a citywide response. The gamers tried to cover their tracks by placing the call over the internet using multiple IP addresses, but they're caught within 5 hours anyway. The Atlanta paper says a similar case in Texas landed an 18-year-old in prison for 11 years. I'm Matt Cook, GNN News.
Are you digging soon? Maybe you're landscaping, installing a fence, or maybe even a mailbox. Whatever the digging project, contact Georgia 811 before you dig. By law, everyone, professionals and do-it-yourselfers, must contact Georgia 811 at least 2 business days before beginning any type of digging.
Right again for Dr. Richard Blue, the Blue Laser Group of Athens, not only for Dr. Richard Blue, but with Dr. Richard Blue. I knew you had had the procedure. I didn't know about your experience. So the outcome's great almost always, but the actual experience, less than optimal. Tell me about it.
Yeah, it's interesting, Tim, how when I had my LASIK procedure done in 2008, it was done by a renowned ophthalmologist who actually invented the laser. But it turned out he was a relatively inexperienced surgeon. So my procedure was a relatively painful experience.
As these things go, it was not a great experience, the procedure itself.
My vision turned out great. It was just the journey to get there was relatively unpleasant. And that led me to my quest to create a much better experience for my own patients.
That's the process that led us to the Gentle Touch LASIK procedure used by Dr. Blue, the Blue Laser Group. All new technology, the very latest, the very greatest. For information, call 888-237-BLUE. That's 888-237-2583. Or go online, bluelasergroup.com.
Remember this number, 855-75-SWITCH. 855-75-SWITCH. More people are switching to Charter Spectrum, America's fastest growing TV, internet, and voice company, because Charter Spectrum brings the customers more advanced products and more of what the customers love, and I'm one of them. Charter Spectrum TV has over 200 HD channels, more than any other provider, and with on demand you'll be able to tap into thousands of movies and shows you can watch instantly anytime you want, many for free. So finding something good to watch just got a lot easier. With speeds starting at 60 megs, Charter Spectrum internet is the fastest internet you can get. With those kinds of speeds, you'll be able to simultaneously stream videos, download music, and lots more. Speaking of more, go ahead and talk more. Charter Spectrum Voice provides unlimited local and long-distance calling. So find out more and join the rest of America and switch to the Charter Spectrum Triple Play for just $29.99 each per month for 12 months when you bundle. Call 855-75-SWITCH. 855-75-SWITCH.
A 10 hot. It's time to march on over to Adcock Furniture Outlet while the prices are so low that you have to see it to believe it. Find discounts on items throughout the store, from living rooms to dining sets, and yes, our mattresses too. You'll find savings that the whole family is going to love. We've got sofas as low as $3.99, or you can relax in your very own recliner for only $1.99. And come today to discover true comfort on a queen mattress for as low as $3.99. If you've been waiting for the perfect time to buy, your wait is over. Come today and let the folks at Adcock Outlet transform your house into the home of your dreams, all at a price you'll love. Start off this season with hot new looks for every room that you'll love for years to come. We've got a great selection and unbeatable prices all in one must-see showroom. So double time over to Adcock Furniture Outlet and march into savings today.
News and talk for the Classic City, 98.
98.7 FM and AM 1340. Fox News, WGAU.
.9 35 Newsmaker Monday. Tim Bryant back with you, making the turn, second half hour on Athens Radio Show of Record. Watching Wall Street, a Dow that is up in the early going, up about 45 points. Keep an eye on that as we move along here. State Rep. Harry Geisinger phoning in just a few minutes from now beneath the Gold Dome there in Atlanta, where the Senate is talking about horse racing, parimutuel wagering on the ponies in Georgia, something he and the Georgia House been talking about for years. Where does that stand? Where do we go? We'll talk with him about that in just a bit. Another of those vices, you know, racing the ponies and drinking alcohol. They're voting on it down there in Watkinsville, right across the river in Watkinsville. A election, a special election, the referendum, 1 week from today. The early voting, such as there has been, and it's been exceedingly light for the first couple of weeks. The final week of that is underway today, continues through Friday there in Watkinsville. Here to talk about this, somebody covers Watkinsville, knows about it, can tell me about it, because I don't know about it. Dan Matthews with us now. Dan Matthews, thanks for your time this morning.
You're welcome, Tim. Thank you for having me on. And I just would like to cite that famous quote, those who don't know history are doomed to repeat it. And the history in Watkinsville, immediate or otherwise, would be that in November of 2014, there was a countywide referendum to approve licensing of liquor by the drink. There are two places in the county that have got liquor by the drink. Representative Alan Peek, of the medical marijuana bill from Macon, has opened a restaurant with other partners called Cheddar's, which is down by the mall, the new mall there, where I went and saw the movie Chappie, which I believe was number one this weekend. Representative Peek's parking, back parking lot, I thought was insane when they built it, but it was packed to the max. And so there are people getting liquor by the drink in Oconee County right now. But what this is about is...
By the way, what's the other place quickly, do you know? You said there were two places. What's the other one?
The Country Club.
Oh, okay.
Beer and... gosh, drawing a blank on my name. Right now, the it's actually changing hands.
Jennings Mill.
Jennings Mill, yeah. Thank you. Thank you. And there are other places that have applied for it but just don't have it yet.
No, I know I can get a beer. You're talking about the movie. I can get a beer there. Can I get a cocktail, too?
Not at the movie theater.
Okay.
And again, that's not in the city of Watkinsville proper.
Right.
You can watch The Walking Dead there. You can watch a lot of things at that movie theater. And people protested that when it first opened up. But it's just the one theater, and kids are not allowed in that particular venue. And that's sort of what led me to want to run for city council back in November 2014. And the machinations of this came up when the Board of Elections in the city of Watkinsville could not distinguish the votes of the people in the city limits versus the people who have just Watkinsville mailing addresses, which is much of the rest of the county.
Most of the rest of the county, I would imagine. Dan Matthews. All right, what does this referendum, and again, the turnout thus far has been light, the early voting, but we'll talk about the people who are voting and what they're voting on. What would this referendum do?
Shall the governing authority of Watkinsville be authorized to issue licenses to sell distilled spirits for beverage purposes by the drink, such sales to be for consumption only on the premises, i.e. three restaurants, probably more likely two, Girasole's and Chops and
Chops
Hops.
Chops and Hops, yeah.
Would have liquor by the drink in those restaurants. And it's not even a, you know, positive that those two are, but the Wallaces and the Langs at the Chops and Hops have been putting up signs and leading a social media blitz. Even their profile, their avatar on their Facebook thing has a special election for City of Watkinsville alcohol referendum, liquor by the drink. Got signs there in the little shopping center that they're in the heart of Watkinsville, and the early voting goes on today through Friday, 8 to 5, at the Board of Elections office at 10 Court Street, a little brick and mortar building there right near the courthouse. And then the regular voting is on St. Patrick's Day, Tuesday, March 17th, 7
right.
a.m., 7
Now,
a.m.
you mentioned Chops and Hops, and I don't know about Girasole's, you can tell me. I know I can go to Chops and Hops, get a beer now.
Correct, and a glass of wine, but
yeah.
Not on Sundays, and I doubt you'll ever see the repeal of that on Sundays.
You can understand. I mean, just trying to follow the conversation here. Maybe I'm the dumbest guy in the room, but it's just so confusing down there. You can get this, but you can't get that. You can't get it on this day, but you can get it on the other day. He goes, I'll never forget. There was a time, I think it was an anniversary dinner. The wife and I were going out to Mrs. Newsmaker. Hey, can I have a bottle of wine to go with this meal? No, you got to go down to Watkinsville, which is at that point a quarter mile away. You know, I mean,
correct. Another part confusing. Of the history lesson is the city of Watkinsville, before the county of Oconee, passed beer and wine in restaurants, and that's been 8 years ago under the leadership of then-Mayor Jim Lucan. They did it by proclamation. They did it by motion and seconding, and they did not have a referendum. To confuse matters, again, we just had a referendum in November, and we're now voting on it just for the city of Watkinsville. Some people think this is sort of a CYA move, if you know what I mean, for the city of Watkinsville to protect itself. I believe that the mayor, Ivy, could have made a motion and had it passed by the city council to approve the county election results and thus have it adhere to the city of Watkinsville. This is just to make sure that everything, the T's are crossed and the I's are dotted and everything else, and protecting themselves for future. I'm confident it's going to pass, but we need to get more voter turnout.
Yeah,
when I ran against Mr. Link, he had the totals for every precinct in the city of Watkinsville, and it passed. Does that mean it's going to pass this time? Not necessarily. Low voter turnout equals crazy results. So we're trying to get a bigger turnout.
Yeah, I've been seeing Sheriff Barry down there in Oconee County has been posting on Facebook and Twitter the numbers for voter turnout, early voter turnout. I think his first day is like five people voted. I mean,
right.
It's just incredibly low.
On second day, number six. My buddy Jeff was number 18 this past Friday, I believe. And so we want to get well past a couple dozen.
Okay, and that's you. You're advocating for it. Fine, that's fair. Anybody, by the way, got a differing opinion, let me know. We'll get you on the air. I got no dog in the fight. I'm just, again, trying to understand what would happen there if and when this thing passes. Dan Matthews, thanks for your insights on this.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Quick break when we come back. State Rep Harry Geisinger, Newsmaker Monday, Fox News, WGAU.
Waking up on the right side. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
All right, so the governors of 26 states are now demanding an investigation into Obama's executive amnesty after it was discovered the administration secretly gave 100,000 illegal immigrants amnesty documents before they were supposed to. The courts have put a freeze on Obama's amnesty plan for violating the federal rules-making process. This didn't stop the administration from continuing with its plans nonetheless. Now, the administration did this in direct deception of the courts, claiming, confusion. A congressional study estimates that Obama's amnesty order is going to cost you $1.7 billion in tax rebates promised to as many as 5 million illegals. Heritage Foundation, their estimate of this cost of executive amnesty will be over $2 trillion over the next five decades. Unbelievable.
From coast to coast, from sea to shining sea, it's the Sean Hannity Show.
Hey, save up to 25% off top-selling window treatments all month long at Blinds.com. Now, Blinds.com has got you and your windows covered this March. Shopping with Blinds.com is nearly a risk-free experience thanks to their incredible sure-fit guarantee. Now, make a mistake measuring, Blinds.com will remake your window treatment for free and send it right to your home. You get everything you need to create a designer look by yourself. Free color samples, shipping, expert advice, and prices that crush prices you'll find in stores. It's Blinds.com, Blinds.com.
You're running your business, and we at Wix.com know things can get stressful. But creating your website doesn't have to be. With Wix, you can create a professional website all by yourself. It's easy and free. You don't have to be a programmer. Just drag and drop everything into place. It's your website, your style. Show the world what you can do. Go to Wix.com and create your own stunning website today. It's easy.
The fastball hit you, not the other way around. You went right to get the soccer ball, but your knee went left. Or maybe that pull start mower has pulled something in your shoulder. But whether the pain is new or familiar, Athens Bone and Joint can help. From sports-related injuries to fractures or chronic pain, Doctors Doris, Bacastow, Ryan, and Fields will get you up, moving and pain-free again. At Athens Bone and Joint, you'll find services ranging from consultations and diagnostic imagery to arthroscopic surgery and rehabilitation, all focused on you and your recovery. Remember, if you have lingering aches from old injuries or have managed a completely fresh injury, find the relief you need quickly at Athens Bone & Joint by calling 706-583-9000. Athens Bone & Joint has regional locations to make visits easier. Athens, Royston, Commerce, Elberton, and Winder. You can call 706-583-9000 for an appointment or go online at athensboneandjoint.com. That's athensboneandjoint.com.
Serta Pro Painters presents American History, If We Went With the Lowest Bidder.
Keep rowing, men. We have to reach the other side of the river by dawn.
But General Washington, the boat has sprung a leak.
Sergeant! Where did you procure this vessel?
A guy who was selling them beside the road. He had the lowest price.
The lowest price is not always the best price, especially when painting. Will your low bidder spend the time talking with you to work out all the details of your job? Serta Pro will. Will your low bidder put in time and effort to properly prepare the surface for painting? Serta Pro will. Will your low bidder use the best quality paint for the job? Serta Pro will. Will your low bidder stick with their estimate and schedule? Serta Pro will. And will your low bidder back their work with a guarantee? Because Serta Pro will. So make the decision you'll be happy with now and for years to come, and get a better, longer-lasting paint job for your money. Get your free estimate at athens.certapro.com or call Serta Pro Painters in Athens.
The superstars of talk radio are on 98.7 FM and AM 1340, Fox News, WGAU.
.9 46 Newsmaker Monday. Tim Bryant back with you. Final few minutes. This semi-popular local radio program. Man, this hour has flown. It's disappeared faster than a Hillary Clinton email. That's how fast this morning has flown by. Harry Geisinger, State Representative Harry Geisinger, Republican from the Roswell area. The Georgia legislative session, just 12 working days left. Crossover day coming up on Friday of this week. There's a bill in the Senate. But that sounds a lot like one he's been pitching in the House for a number of years now. Deals with horse racing, pari-mutuel wagering on the ponies in Georgia. Representative Harry Geisinger with us now to talk about Senator Brandon Beach's bill. Representative Geisinger, thanks for your time this morning.
Happy to be with you.
This bill, for whatever reason, I don't know if it's timing, this year, this the right time, seems to be getting more traction. Is there or are there any significant distinctions between what Senator Beach has proposed over the years and what you've talked about?
Basically, no. A little bit in regards to where how the money's going. It basically is going to the same place, which is higher education, and needs students in the higher education.
All right, yeah. The money, as we understand it, would be, or the proceeds, part of them would go to the lottery-funded Hope College Scholarship Program, maybe some other educational programs in Georgia. And you've been talking about this for a number of years over there in the House, this one in the Senate. What seems to be the legislative appetite this time around?
Well, I think it's better. We'll see. I believe the Senate bill is going to be on the floor on Wednesday, and we'll see then how the appetite is, but I believe it's going to pass.
Now, your proposal, and I don't know if this is Senator Beach's proposal or not, but yours, as I understand it, for the times that you pitched it, dealt with allowing local communities to decide. In other words, Athens could vote in the form of a referendum if they wanted to have a horse track in their community. Is that what he's proposing there in the Senate?
Basically the same thing. You know what you have to do is you have to let the people vote, and it is a constitutional amendment, so it would be on the ballot in 16. But if you want to go ahead and have a track and a satellite facility, which would be sort of a small betting parlor, you'd have to have a referendum again in that local community.
Again, this is me not knowing something I fundamentally should know. State Rep. Harry Geisinger with us. I understand that in this being a constitutional amendment needs the requisite two-thirds majorities in both the House and Senate. Does it require the governor's signature? Could the governor veto this even with that? I guess if you got those kind of majorities, you could override a veto anyway.
Well, it isn't. He can't veto. He cannot agree to it or disagree to it. It's a constitutional amendment.
It takes him out of the equation.
Yeah.
Right. The governor vetoes or signs, for that matter, laws, pieces of legislation, but not constitutional amendments. All right. There's my civic lesson for the day. One of the concerns, State Senator Frank Ginn, Republican from Madison County, a couple of weeks ago, he said, Tim, find out from your listeners what they think. He's on that Senate committee that's looking at this. And find out from your listeners what they think about it. So I went to the Facebook page there. And, hey, Senator wants to know, what do you think about horse racing? There's about 2/3 that were in favor. You know, for different reasons, to fund the lottery, libertarian aspect of this, who's the government to tell me I shouldn't be betting on horses, that sort of thing. There was a lot of that. Most of the opposition, most of the people who said they were opposed to it, had frankly the same concern I do. It's not a deal breaker, but they need some assurance that the horses are going to be okay. I mean, people concerned about the horses, the conditions under which they're kept and trained and raced. What do we know about that? What assurances can you offer those folks who are concerned about that part of it?
Well, in my enabling legislation, which the Senate hasn't even brought up and doesn't need to until next year, we have money set aside for horse rescue. If there's a problem anywhere, you just cannot abuse the horses because it is a well-policed industry. Now, what happens after they retire them sometimes? People abuse them as individuals, and that's why the horse rescue is there. And, you know, people have horses that are not even running that need to be rescued.
What's the upside of this? Again, money for the Hope College Scholarship, okay. What's the upside of this from an economic development perspective? There's people who say this will generate jobs for different communities around the state. Others point to places like where it's legal now, New Jersey and some other places, and they don't see the economic activity that proponents seem to suggest would occur.
Well, you know, New Jersey's had horse racing for years, and so you don't get to see what the benefit is simply because you can't nail it down. But they will see it because it'll be everything from feed to breeding. The farmers in Georgia will benefit greatly from it. And the entertainment field, that is tourism, will benefit greatly because of the renting of rooms and restaurants.
State Rep. Harry Geisinger with us. Another couple of minutes here. As we mentioned, crossover day, if the schedule holds, every reason to think it will, crossover day on Friday of this week. There's still another issue out there, that big house transportation funding bill. Where do you see that going?
Well, you know, it passed out of the House.
Right.
And it is across the hall in the Senate. I see it passing in the end. I just hope that the Senate doesn't mess it up too badly. You know, they like to put their thumbprint on everything.
Yeah, in terms of what the House bill does, it does take us from that sales tax on gas to a direct excise tax?
That's correct.
And you see that as a positive development? That's something we should be doing?
Well, we have to because, you know, when you realize that when you have a sales tax, if the sale price goes down, so does the revenue that you're taking in for the state. So today we're sitting there with lower gas prices and not sure how much revenue we're going to get, and we're not going to get enough to do what we need to do. In fact, at the rate we're going, we can afford to repave every double lane in Georgia every 50 years, and that's crazy.
Yeah, that's the point the governor has made by way of illustrating. Hey, you graduate high school, they paved your road that year, they'll pave it again when you go on Medicare or Social Security. That's the point the governor makes.
Yes.
State Rep. Harry Geisinger with us. The budget itself, where's that? You folks in the House have passed that, sent it to the Senate, or you'd have to do it first, right?
Yes, we always do.
Yeah, and you see any big hurdles there?
Not really. You know, again, they'll put their thumbprint on it somewhere.
Finally, let you go on this one. The Opportunity School District proposal, Governor Nathan Deal, his plan to allow the state to take over failing schools in Georgia. Where do you stand on that?
Well, you know, we've really got to do something because these failing schools just continue to fail. And it's the state's responsibility to make sure that we give every student a proper and well-rounded education. And many of our systems are not doing that. So what the governor wants to do is rescue those schools that need some help. And it makes all the sense in the world if you want to have a good, educated workforce.
That's another, as I understand it, a proposed constitutional amendment. I can see the potential for political trouble here in that there are Republicans who have, if not opposition or expressed opposition, have certainly expressed concern. Democrats, for the most part, opposed to this. Going to be enough votes, House and Senate, to get this thing before the voters of Georgia?
We'll see.
State
it's hard to tell.
Yeah, it does. It's difficult to forecast. State Rep. Harry Geisinger, Republican from Roswell. A brand new day of the legislative session about to get underway in a busy, huge week beneath the Gold Dome there in Atlanta with Crossover Day coming up on Friday. Thanks for your time this morning.
Jim, thank you for having me. And anytime, just give me a call.
Will do. Thanks so much. We'll keep an eye on this. I shouldn't start spouting the bill number because I don't know that I know it, but I think it's Senate Bill 63, the one that deals with the horse racing. And he's been doing this for years in the House. We've talked to him, I know, for the last 4 or 5 years in the House about this notion of pony tracks in Georgia and having the money go to the Hope College Scholarship. And I needed that education I got there. Well, all the governor has to do is veto this. You can't veto a constitutional amendment. I mean, even if you could, numerically, it would be against you as a governor because you had to have 2/3 majorities in the House and Senate to get it before the voters as a constitutional amendment anyway. So the governor not a factor here. There was that issue of proposed legislation. You'll recall we had this conversation a year or two ago. This guy who wanted, this developer who wanted to build the big casino-like complex there off Jimmy Carter in Gwinnett County, set up all these video terminals and have you essentially go and buy your lottery tickets through video terminals playing the video games, pulling the slot machines like you do out there in Vegas, except you're essentially buying lottery tickets. You win, you lose, whatever, but the money goes to the Hope College Scholarship and the pre-K. And the governor did shoot that one down. Hand in the air, I've never known why. And I have asked the governor point blank, why? It's just another way to buy a lottery ticket. You're selling those as fast as you can. Why? I'm not trying to be argumentative, not trying to be an advocate for one side or the other. I'm just trying to understand. You won't let this happen. Why not? What is your level of opposition? Why are you concerned about this? And if he gave me an answer, I'm too dumb to understand it. I think it's, in his mind, the slippery slope argument. Well, if you will get this, you'll have real casinos next. I don't know. I don't understand the area of his opposition. It could not be simpler to me, at least in terms of trying to understand it. It's just another way to buy a lottery ticket. You can be for or against a lottery, but that ship has sailed. We decided that a couple of decades ago, and I don't know anybody who'd run for anything in Georgia saying, let's rescind the lottery. Well, it seems to me another way to sell a lottery ticket, but the governor four square against it. We'll see where the legislature is on yet another way to sell lottery tickets, this notion of horse racing in Georgia. But thanks to State Rep. Harry Geisinger for joining us just now. Thanks to Dan Matthews joining us just now. Again, you folks in Watkinsville, go vote. That was an interesting thing he said I hadn't thought of. If Oconee County, you voted for it countywide, well, wouldn't that apply to Watkinsville? It probably would. But we'll see what happens on Tuesday of next week. Thanks to Dan Matthews for stepping us through that somewhat complicated maze of alcohol in Oconee County and Watkinsville. And thanks to Jerry Henry, GeorgiaCarry.org. Georgia Carry, Second Amendment folks. Thanks to Jerry Henry for joining us this morning. Talk about gun legislation beneath the Gold Dome in Atlanta. Most of all, and as always, thanks to you for being with us. Now meet me at the website, ClassicCityToday.com, Athens, Northeast Georgia's online news source. Have a great day. Stay safe. Keep it tuned to Fox News, WGAU.